This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This year, our teaching theme is abundant life. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came to earth so that we could live a full, abundant life. We only need to look around the world today to see how the thief that Jesus spoke of is stealing, killing, and destroying. We see wars and innocent people being killed. We see lives being stolen and destroyed as addictions get a grip on those who are vulnerable to this. We see the God of materialism breeding selfishness and greed. All of these things and others steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, though, offers all of us, no matter who we are, another way to live life to the full today in the year 2022. Over the last 5 months, we've been exploring what abundant life looks like when we follow Jesus. We've been finding out that we are known, loved, and expected by a God who cares about us. If you've missed any of our past talks, you can find them all on YouTube. Just type Leeds Vineyard into the search bar and they'll come up. I'm convinced that all human beings can only live a truly abundant life by following Jesus and by putting our faith, hope, and trust in him every day of our earthly lives. It's 27 years since I started exploring who Jesus is, and 24 since I got baptized. Some of you here weren't even born then. I've never regretted surrendering my life to Jesus all those years ago and putting my faith, hope, and trust in him. In my experience, Jesus is more reliable and trustworthy than any politician, any celebrity, any expert in a field, any family member or friend, much as I love my family members and friends. Before I decided to follow Jesus, although I enjoyed my job, I was living for the weekend, for going out and partying. I thought Jesus was boring, irrelevant, and had nothing to bring to my life. But overdoing it on alcohol and waking up with a hangover most weekends began to lose its appeal over time. I began to wonder if I were put on this earth for more. I began to wonder about the Jesus I'd heard about as a child, and decided to do an alpha course with a friend to explore him a bit more. I didn't say a word in any of the discussions, which might surprise those of you who know me now. But as my friend and I ate the free food and listened to the talks, I slowly got closer to Jesus. I found that he satisfied what partying never could. Looking back, I resonate with something that C.S. Lewis wrote many years ago. He said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." I realized I was made for more than I had been living for. Deciding to follow Jesus didn't mean that my life was suddenly full of purpose and joy and without challenges or pain. I had a lot to learn about this new way of life. I learned to receive God's forgiveness for my past mistakes and to say sorry to those I'd hurt. I learned to forgive those who'd hurt me. I learned to pray, to share my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, with others following Jesus. I learned to use my gifts and found places to serve others. I began the journey of becoming a disciple of Jesus, and I'm still on the journey. I could say a lot more about how Jesus has changed me and who I might have become without him, but now's not the time. What I do want to do is to encourage those of you who aren't yet following Jesus to explore who he is. We have lots of resources on our website just for you. Head to leedsvineyard.org/explore to find out more. Last Sunday, David Flowers, one of our senior pastors, talked about what happened when Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, and that although Jesus died a physical death, he is still with us, among us, and especially among the poor. If you missed it, I recommend you watch it and catch up on YouTube. This morning, I hope to show you, through the first chapter of John's Gospel, that when Jesus walked this earth all those years ago, he was both fully God and fully human, and to explore what this means for our lives today. Before we jump into John, let me just give you a little background to the Gospel of John. John is the fourth Gospel. The other three are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The four Gospels record the life and ministry of Jesus. If you want to learn about Jesus and the things that he said and did, these ancient texts, the four Gospels, believed to have been written by eyewitnesses or people who spoke with eyewitnesses during the first century, are a great place to start. John's Gospel is generally thought to have been written later than the other three. When John wrote this book, he had a specific purpose in mind, which he states clearly at the end of his book in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Bible scholars think that John probably wrote his gospel for two reasons. Firstly, to call unbelievers to faith in Jesus, and secondly, to provide confidence to believers who were struggling in their faith. Perhaps you would put yourself in one of those groups this morning. John's Gospel opens with a prologue, another word for an introduction. In this introduction, John writes some slightly mind-bending sentences, which aim to tell his readers that Jesus was both fully God and fully human. So let's get going and hear our passage. Andrew's going to come up and read it to give you a break from my voice. Could somebody look it up in the Pew Bibles and shout out the number? John 1, verse 1. 799, for those of you who might want that.
Okay, so John 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
I don't know about you, but I found this passage quite mind-boggling when I first read it. Who or what is the Word? How can the Word be with God and also be God? How can the Word become flesh? How can those who believe in the Word become God's children? If your mind feels a bit boggled, bear with me. I'm going to break this passage down into bite-sized chunks, which I hope will help you see what John is telling us and what this means for our lives today. Let's start by digging a bit deeper into the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is the Word that John is speaking of here. Those of you who are familiar with the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, may spot that the opening line of John's Gospel is similar to the opening line of Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John is intentionally drawing his readers back to Genesis to put Jesus into the story of when and how life on earth began. John is saying that in order to really understand who Jesus is, we need to start way back at the start of creation, as Jesus was around then. What was God doing then? God was creating the sky, the heavens, the sea, birds, animals, fish, Adam and Eve. If Jesus was with God in the beginning and around when creation was taking place, why did he become human and come to earth? I think if I had been with God in the beginning, I wouldn't have been too keen to come to earth and get involved in life here when I looked and saw the mess that had been made of what God originally intended. But Jesus shared God's heart for the people God had created. And so he came to earth to live among us, to show us the way as one of us, and to sacrifice his life so that ordinary people like you and me could be rescued from our messy lives and be restored as children of God. It says further on in the book of John, in chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus, who is both fully God and fully human, made God known on earth. Jesus demonstrated God's power through his miracles and authority over nature, and he shared God's love in his actions and words. Let's take a look at verses 11 to 13. "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." When Jesus was alive on earth, healing the sick, casting out demons, commanding storms to stop, and encouraging his disciples to do the same, there were people who did not receive him. Yet for those who believe in him, both then and now, his unjust death gave us the right to become God's children. We get to become children of God if we believe in Jesus, put our faith in him, and choose to follow him. Many people around and about us in Leeds in our everyday lives might consider that Jesus was a good man, a good moral teacher, or a prophet. I love how C.S. Lewis writes about how Jesus didn't leave this option open to us. He writes, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." So we have a choice to make about Jesus. Are we going to believe that he is who he claimed to be? Do you believe the stories of the miracles and power that he displayed when he was on earth? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? So that we are left in no doubt that Jesus is fully God, in Hebrews 1, verse 3, we read, "The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Not similar, not like God, the exact representation of his being. As I come to the end of my talk, let's take a look at verse 14 more closely. We read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word, Jesus, became a man and dwelt among us. He had a flesh and blood body like ours. He ate and drank. He grew weary and had to rest. He was filled with joy. He wept with sorrow. Like us, he was tempted to make bad choices. The Greek word for dwelling in this verse is skene. It means to live in a tent, to occupy. This is the same word that was used in the book of Exodus when God's presence came to the temple after Moses brought the Ten Commandments down from Mount Sinai. John is comparing Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us with God's presence, which came to dwell in the temple or tabernacle that God instructed Moses to build. What John is saying is that Jesus, who was fully God and fully human, came to earth as a human being with flesh and bones and lived among us. John is saying that Jesus reveals God to us. In verse 18, we read, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." John wants to make it clear that Jesus, that the Jesus he knew was both fully God and fully human. At the end of his prologue, John is making an invitation to you and me to carry on reading the rest of his gospel, to read about what Jesus did on earth and what Jesus wants to make known to you and me here and now in 2022. How we respond to these stories is up to us. When I was praying and preparing for this talk, I sensed God wants to reveal Jesus in a new way to everyone listening or watching today, whether you are seeking Jesus or are already following him. One of the things I love most about Jesus is the way he treated the poor, those on the fringe of society, the lonely and the broken. Over and over again, he gave them his time because he knew they would hear his message and understand it. He spoke life and hope into broken hearts. If you are here today or watching online and feeling brokenhearted, then you're in a good place to hear the words of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, maybe today is the day to invite him into your heart for the first time. Maybe you know Jesus, but your heart has grown cold and you want to invite him in again. Andrew and Joss, would you come up and join me?
So let's just stay with that invitation. We've got a bit of time now before we need to collect the kids. So we're just going to make some space to respond to that, to this word that Sally has been introducing us to. Or to anything else which God may have been stirring in you this morning through the worship, or just a cry of your heart for him that you might have going on at the moment inside. This passage that we've looked at is quite momentous, isn't it? And it is this invitation to us to meet Jesus and to respond to him. So let me invite you to stand if you're happy to do that, if you're comfortable doing that, and how long you stay standing is entirely up to you. And let's just take a minute to to connect with this invitation and his voice speaking to us, calling out our name as we sang about. It's always fresh, this invitation. It's always relevant whether we've been following Jesus for a lifetime or whether we've never really encountered him before. So let's just be still before God. Holy Spirit, will you come now? We welcome you here. We need you, Lord.
God was talking to me this morning about how he makes the darkness tremble and how there might be things that we carry that we are afraid of, that we are ashamed of. But yet when we bring those things out into the light, they lose their power. The darkness has no power over the light. So there may be things, around lust or pornography, adultery, jealousy, insecurity, anger, things that you're carrying and you think, I can't ever tell anybody that. That's like the worst thing ever and they're going to judge me for it and they're going to hate me. But yet when we speak those things out, they lose their power. They lose their bond over us. And Jesus' light just overshadows it all. So if there are things in your heart today thinking, I can't tell anybody that, I can't deal with that, take that step, be brave. No one's going to judge you for it, and that power will be absolutely broken when it's brought into the light.